Good morning and welcome. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. Enter not into judgment with your servant. I remember the days of old, I meditate on all that you have done. I stretch out my hands to you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level grounds.
For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life.
In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. As it was in the beginning,
is now and will be forever. Amen.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy.
In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Dispel from us the works of darkness, and grant us to live in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the book of Zephaniah, beginning with chapter 1. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traders are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of stress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, beginning with chapter 5. Now, concerning the time and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you, thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would take your hymnal and turn to Psalm 90. This is the appointed psalm of the day. Now, we use the introit where it could also be a place for the psalm. There's another place that a psalm could be used, but we don't usually do that at all. But this is the psalm of the day, and I'd like us to read it whole verse by whole verse together. And because I'm going to include a portion of this in the message for today. So, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, for ever you have formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
And in the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
The years of our life are even by reason of strength fading. Yet their span is but a toil and trouble. They are too long, and then we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil.
Let your word be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. This portion of this psalm, I'm going to be applying to Jesus' parable. The parable of the talents. I'd like us to consider something. Maybe I know it's really tempting to do so when we talk about the talents that the master of the house gives to the servants. A lot of times we want to apply that word to our talents, our gifts, our abilities, what we're good at. You know, those kinds of things. A lot of times we do that. We almost, if we were to read this in that kind of way, we would almost want to take one of those talent surveys to figure out what is my gift, because I certainly don't want to be burying that gift. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Though that is important, to use the gifts that God has given us and understand that we are to be good stewards of those things. You could almost perhaps even make this into a stewardship sermon. But I'm not going to do that because I really don't think that's what Jesus was getting to in this parable. He's already talked to them about another parable that talks about the suddenness of the Lord's appearing. You know, it'll come like a thief in the night. And then he goes on, therefore, Jesus said, it will be like a man going on a journey. And he's talking about the parousia, the return, his second coming, the return when he after his ascension and he goes into heaven. But here he's not talking about the suddenness, but now he's talking about his people and what he has brought them through his work. And it's talking about faith. And it's talking about that faith that has as its object Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross that redeems us and makes us God's children. That's what I want to get at. Now, depending on your kind of focus, you may take those words and go with them any particular way. Like, I'm sure there are pastors that are kind of maybe focused on stewardship, or even laymen are kind of focused on maybe being good stewards of all the things God has given them. And you could do that. That would be valid. Or perhaps you're a pastor who is wanting to focus on evangelism, or a layperson who might want to focus their life on evangelism. And they may take these words and apply it to that and say, well, the talents are the gospel and we need to go spread the gospel and we got to grow the kingdom. Because in the end of time, when Christ comes again, he's going to say, well, what did you do about growing my kingdom? How many converts did you get? What a dreadful day that would be. A scary day indeed, if it were that way. But we could focus on evangelism, and that would be valid too. But I don't want to go there because I don't think that's what the disciples were hearing when Jesus spoke this parable. He had not yet given them the Great Commission. So why would they be thinking evangelism? Indeed, Jesus is going to the cross soon. He's going to be betrayed soon, very soon. Things are going to start accelerating, and Jesus' purpose for coming will be completed. He will go to the cross for us. He will suffer the pains of a whip and torture and mocking, and he will go to the cross and be nailed to it, and there he will die. But his death is for us. His death is for our redemption. He is the sacrifice for our sins that God has provided. Our substitute, because his death is the death we deserve. God's wrath being poured out on him is what we deserve. But God, in his infinite mercy and care for his creation, and especially for us whom he created in his image, he planned this out for us. In his great mercy and his love, he did not want his wrath to be poured out upon us. But instead, he wants to, with his son's death, give us new life. And that's what I want to kind of look at when Jesus says about this parable, going away and leaving talents to certain servants. It is a lesson in God's love. It truly, truly is about God's love and mercy and how he treats His servants. Now, the Master is Jesus. And the talent. Oh, by the way, a talent, just so you know, one talent is worth about 20 years of a person's salary. Yeah. So one talent is a whole lot of money. Five talents, well, you do the math. So anyway, the master leaves the talents to these servants, his possessions. His possessions. He doesn't give them to his servants. He entrusts what is his to his servants to take care of his affairs while he is gone. While he is gone. Now here is where it gets interesting. Because the first two servants we hear, the one who has five and the one who has two, what do? Immediately they go out. Immediately they go out and began using these gifts for their master. And they receive an increase in what they have done. But the third servant, what does he do? He departs from the master. He doesn't go out with the possessions of his master to do anything with them at all. Instead, he buries them in the ground. And then the master comes back. But before we go there, let's consider what Jesus has done for us. In giving us new life, that occurs through His Spirit. Each and every one of His servants have been given His Spirit. And His Spirit apportions certain gifts out to us. His Spirit apportions out certain gifts to us. They are different. They are various. But they're all for the purpose of building up the kingdom of God. One servant's gifts are not better than another servant's gifts. They are not more important than another's. All we got to do is go look in Corinthians and see what St. Paul says about the gifts that the Spirit gives. And in every case, St. Paul says the most important gift is love. That without love, none of these gifts that one may be granted by God mean a thing. They might as well, we might say, be like the servant who went out and buried it, the love of God. Buried that love which God has poured out on us through His Son's sacrifice. That love of God which has changed you and I from sinners into righteous servants of God. You see, that's what the Master leaves us. Our Lord Jesus, when He ascended into heaven, left us His Spirit. He made us righteous. We have these certain gifts, every Christian has, of faith, hope, and love. Now, we may have other kinds of gifts, but that's not what I want to look at. I want to look at those three: faith, hope, and love. I'm not going to do a study on those words. I just want us to consider those as being that which our Master, our Lord Jesus, left us with. You see, how I see this, or how I'm understanding this, you know, at this time, because it may change and I may preach differently next time I preach on this text, because maybe I'm directed to do something else. Do you know how it is? How you can read one passage one day, and then a few months down the road you read it again, and it means something different than it did a few months back. But as I'm considering what this is, these talents, they're not as important as, you know, the gifts that God gives us to use for the building of His kingdom. I don't think that's what Jesus was referencing. Especially with the section that follows this from Matthew's Gospel, which is next week's Gospel lesson. But that has to deal with the day of judgment when Christ does come back, and what will happen when those who were faithful stood before the Lord and those who were unfaithful stood before the Lord. And we'll get into that next week. I don't really want to go there today, though I may reference it. Now, when our Lord left us with these, or with these talents, let's say, because they're very valuable, they're God's own possession that He gives us. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us the riches of His kingdom. He gives us the riches of His kingdom, and He says, take care of this while I'm gone. Now, as His children, as His servants who have been made righteous, we must always keep in mind our finiteness. Now, we're going over to the Psalm. See? What is wisdom? It is an understanding that very thing. Our lifespan is but 70 or 80 years. Granted, some go longer. But what we are to understand from that is not, you know, as God's redeemed, it is not the end of us. But it is the end of our pilgrimage here. At some point, our pilgrimage here ends. Whether it be the Master coming or our Master sending for us to come to Him. Right? It ends. And we have but a short time. And this Psalm of Moses, is what it's known as, is a reminder of that. And it's not a pleasant journey. It's a journey filled with pitfalls and stumbling and falling and hurt and anguish and suffering. But it will come, all of that will come to an end. But meanwhile, as we are on this pilgrimage, we are to let the gift of hope, faith, and love be, I don't want to say guide, be prevalent. That's why. Our faith is so important in this pilgrimage. Our hope is also, because hope and faith kind of go together very, very close. It is because of faith in Christ that we have hope. Without faith, we have no hope. Oh, we may have certain kinds of hope in the world, but our hope is based on a certainty, and it's based on the promise of God. So without faith, we have no hope. Without faith, we can't really know God. Indeed, we will make certain accusations about God, or assumptions about God. And when we consider our life in this world, our pilgrimage of 70 or 80 years or maybe longer, they are filled, like I said, with trouble. And they are brief. And our life is gone, and maybe those who were with us in that pilgrimage will remember us until they are called to be with the Lord as well. But then other righteous servants of Christ will remember us in the readings we do today, as we too remember those who have gone before us, those who have been martyred for the faith, those who now live before the throne of God. But faith and hope carry us through in this pilgrimage, because faith clings to what Christ has done to us. Faith clings to the cross. Faith looks to heaven. The goal, St. Paul said, always keep that in front of you. Keep it in front of you. Don't act like you've already crossed the finish line and stop racing. Stop the run. Stop whatever it is that you're doing to get there. Keep doing it. And that's what faithful servants of God do. That faith and that hope. It is seen in their lives. It is seen in their vocations. It is seen among their family members. It is seen among their friends. It is seen by the strangers that we encounter. It is seen by the world. That faith and that hope that we have in Christ, and that faith and that hope is enveloped in love. God's love that overflows from us, overflows from our hearts into those around us. You see, that's what the faithful servants in our parable do. They go out right away after receiving this wonderful gift. They don't go and hide this wonderful gift because of their faith. They know their master is a wonderful master, and they love serving him and doing for him, and they want to increase what he has entrusted to them. But then there's the unfaithful servant. He doesn't move in that world of faith, hope, and love. Even though the love of God is poured out on him, yet he does not believe. And he has no hope. So what is it that he has? Fear. He has fear. He has been given this wonderful gift, and he doesn't know what to do with it, because he does not know his master. So he buries it. He buries it, thinking to himself, at least I won't lose it on a bad investment. But so he does nothing at all. It would be like us who have received this glorious gift of God. We are his children. We are the benefactors of the blood of Christ. Faith, hope, and love is the possession of all God's servants. What do we do with it? We go out into the world with it. We don't worry about losing it because we know we won't lose it. We don't worry about making bad investments. We know it has power because it is the Word of God in us, and that Word of God redeems the world, in a sense, because there are many who don't know the redemption Christ has done for us. So when we proclaim that Word, when we live that Word, we are a living testimony, and we in our lives give glory to God. Now this unfaithful servant wasn't giving glory to his master. No. Let us listen to more of the story. When he comes to him, "Master, I knew you," and this is what he says. He says, the one who received one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. What is his fear based on? It is unbelief. It is not in recognizing what God, or in this case, in the parable, the Master has done for him. What a great gift and responsibility he has been given. No, no, no. He doesn't. Instead, he sees a Master who is not really fair and just. Oh, no, no. He's shrewd and he's conniving and he gets. And, you know, it's kind of like when people today look at those who have garnered wealth, and immediately there is the thought, oh, they must have gotten there by, you know, crooked ways, by being, you know, sneaky and taking what wasn't theirs and making it their own. That's how people get rich. Yeah, maybe there are those that get rich that way, but not all. Some are very, generous with their wealth, and they look out for other people and take care of other people. And that's the kind of master this servant had in the parable. He had a master who was loving and trusted his servants. And he knew them. He actually knew them because he gives to them what he knows they can handle. He gives one five because he knows that one can handle that and deal with it. It's not a burden, in other words. He's not going to have to worry about it. It's what God has granted him and given him. And the same thing with the one with two. And even the one who is unfaithful. Perhaps maybe this wonderful gift will turn his heart to see this truth. But he doesn't see that truth. And out of fear, he buries that very talent, that wealth, that wonderful gift God has given him. That wonderful riches of God's mercy and salvation. So what happens? Jesus kind of mocks him. All right. Or the Master does. So you knew I was this way? That's how you perceived me, in other words? Well, if you were smart, because you perceived me that way, you should have taken it down to the bank and invested it there. Because everybody knows the bank is a safe place to go with your money investment, right? You don't get much, but at least I'll get something back from it. But you believed I was this kind of master? Really? After what I gave you, you believed I was like that? That's the gist of the parable and what Jesus is saying. So what does the master do? He takes that talent away and gives it to the one who now had 10. Notice what Jesus says to the faithful servants. Well done, good and faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come into my joy. There we have that portion of Christ returning and looking to us and seeing us as we come before Him. And we say to Him, Lord, Your gifts, You made me Your child. And I have gone out and I have live for You. It's not really about quantity. It's about quality. It's about living Your faith. It is about loving one another as fellow redeemed and loving those outside our community who do not know Christ. It's not about doubling. It's about living it out and we have 70, maybe 80 years to do it. We should look at that not as a fearful thing, or ponder on it and kind of count our days, our past that have gone by, and kind of maybe say, boy, I really regret that. I really regret that. Oh boy, did I do that? You know, oh God, forgive me. Yes, we should pray that whenever we sin. But those things that are past, has not God already forgiven them? Have you not taken them before the Lord? You did so this morning. You did so this morning, and every Sunday morning, and every day you pray to God and you say, Lord, forgive me for the sins I have done this day. You receive God's forgiveness. Here you see, you receive it in a kind of a visible way. First with the pastor declaring to you, as Jesus commanded his disciples to do, and as they have instructed pastors ever since to do. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Whoever sins you loose, they are loosed. There. Communion, the sacrament, and what's hidden there in the bread and the wine. The very body and blood of our Lord Jesus. It is given to us to help us in this pilgrimage, to strengthen us, to heal us when we are wounded and ill because of sin, to lift us up and encourage us, knowing and reminding us of the love of God. See, faith and hope, like I said, are enveloped in love, God's love. And if we lose track of that, if we decide maybe to, instead of keeping the cross before our eyes and the goal, the kingdom of heaven, the goal of life eternal in righteousness without sin, that is what the master says to the two faithful servants, enter into my joy. And that is what Jesus will say to us who have been faithful. Does that mean our faithfulness is perfect? Does that mean there are people that I maybe regret that I did not talk to when I had the opportunity to maybe comfort them, to maybe give them words of encouragement, to even maybe speak the gospel that they may hear the word of God and that the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to work in them? I imagine every one of us will stand before the Lord and say to Him on that day of judgment, Lord, I thank You for the gifts You have given me, all of them, especially that of being Your servant, Your child. I thank You, but You know, Lord, I didn't do some of the things I should have. And you know what God will say? And this is the great part. Well done, good and faithful servant. He's not taking score. He knows what's in your hearts. He knew what His first two servants were capable of, and He knew the third one would fail. Even though He wanted him to have the same gift, yet He knew it would be rejected by that one. And so that is taken away, and he's not invited to enter into the joy of the Master. He is cast out. He is cast out forever. That will be the day of the Lord when He returns again. It will be sudden, Jesus said. It will come like a thief in the night. For it will be like this. During your 70 or 80 years of life, or more if God grants that, live your faith, your hope, and let that love flow from you to others, family, friends, strangers. Let them see whose child you are. You are not a child of this world. This world isn't your home. This nation is not your kingdom. Your kingdom is not of this world, because it wasn't for Jesus either. You have been brought into His kingdom, and on every day that you walk in this earth, on this pilgrimage, Christ is there with you. You always have His presence because Jesus reigns. His kingdom reigns. And though this world may be full of trouble, and though we may be one day martyred, or we may die a quiet death in our beds, never having experienced such a thing, yet we all will hear our Master, our Lord, say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have lived your faith, you have poured out what I have poured into you." Do not worry whether or not you've done what the Lord calls you to do, because if you have faith, hope, and love, the answer is most certainly you have. Because God is always moving in you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The offering, please. It comes after. Please rise. Almighty God, everlasting Father, you are worthy of being praised for all your gifts and graces which you have given to us, your unworthy people. Hear us this day as we cry to you for mercy toward all people as they have need. You have made us your people and preserved us through the ministry of your word and sacraments. Continue to pour out upon us grace upon grace, that we may be kept in faith and guarded in hope. Make your church throughout the world one in doctrine, confession, and life, and give to your church faithful pastors who will preach and teach your word with conviction. Deliver us from confusion and error by the power of your Holy Spirit, and raise up those who will continue to serve in faithfulness and humility. Deliver all enemies of your church and convert their hearts to repentance and faith. Strengthen all Christians in their faith and in their vocation of service as your children, that we may be obedient to your word and receive the salvation of our souls. Deliver the nations from oppression and ungodly rulers and governments. Bless all in authority within our own nation, that righteousness may flourish and injustice end. Bless all those places where your people teach and learn, that our children may honor you, walk in your commands, and show forth in their lives the fruits of the Spirit. Prevent all disaster and calamity. Deliver us from war and violence, and spare us from pestilence. Help us to know and rejoice in the good fruits of the earth. Bless all noble occupations, and help the arts to flourish, that our lives may be enriched by beauty. Help us to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of the earth you supply for our common good. Receive with our song of praise and sacrifice of thanksgiving the tithes and offerings we bring, that through good use of the skills, talents, and time you have given us, you may be glorified in all we are and do. Give unity to your people, that we may not be divided in doctrine or witness, and grant us grace that we may come to the Lord's table and receive there the body and blood of our Lord Jesus in sincere repentance and faith. Give to the sick healing, to the suffering relief, to the grieving hope, and to the dying peace. Hear us especially on behalf of those who have requested our prayers. Pastor and Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Don and Donna Tolliner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Roche, Jason Stillner, and Wilfred Defoe. Sustain us in the day of trial. Deliver us from all our enemies of body and soul, and keep us steadfast in the day of trouble. Remembering that here we have no abiding city, but heaven is our home, give us your aid so that we may by true faith and godly life prepare for the coming of our Savior, doing the works you have called us to do and accomplishing your purpose in our daily lives. Help us to multiply your mercy by loving our neighbor in need and loving you with all our body, soul, strength, and will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The next hymn is probably unfamiliar to all of you. I'm not even sure if you know it or not. Maybe a couple of you may. It's new to me, but I've been learning it. I've been winding up humming the tune a lot, at least today. But if you would, could you just play it through kind of slowly or at the tempo you plan on playing it? Okay. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts unto the Lord.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in joy and peace. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious.